Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about Haruki Murakami. We did talk about the featured story yesterday, Super Frog Saves Tokyo. That's one of his short stories that you can read in his book, After the Quake. And today we're going to be talking about our author, Haruki Murakami. And, well, he's from Japan, of course, and we'll find out about his career in jazz music and how he went from loving jazz to becoming a very famous writer.
Yeah, we talked about this briefly during our first program about this author. He actually really loved music and started out his adult career, you could say, in jazz music. And then one day he kind of had this inspiration that he should write.
Yeah.
And while he's watching baseball, I want to put in there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How can you be inspired to write if you're watching baseball?
Well, I love baseball, and it inspires me to do a lot of things.
I thought it would just inspire you to play baseball.
No.
But in this case, it did inspire him to become a writer.
Sure.
I wonder what game he was watching. Some game in Japan, of course.
They have pretty good baseball players in Japan, as we know.
Oh, yeah. Baseball is on the rise out here in the East. But today we're going to talk about Haruki Murakami in today's lesson. Let's get to it. Let's read through the entire content of our lesson right now. Haruki Murakami was born in Kyoto, Japan in 1949. Although he didn't become a writer until he was in his late 20s, Murakami's childhood undoubtedly influenced the development of his style and provided inspiration for his later works. He grew up in the post-World War II era, in a period when the Japanese were trying to rebuild their nation and reshape their national identity after suffering defeat in the war. Murakami studied dramatic literature in college, but chose to follow his passion and pursue a career that involved music after graduation. Being a lifelong jazz enthusiast, he opened a popular jazz bar in Tokyo, which he managed for 7 years. Oddly enough, Murakami got a sudden flash of inspiration while attending a baseball game that convinced him he should write. When he heard the crack of the bat, Murakami claims he immediately knew that he could write a novel. So he penned his first book, Hear the Wind Sing, frequently writing after he closed down his bar for the evening. This novel won first prize in a national literary contest for emerging authors, and Murakami never looked back from there. Murakami has a style all his own, which is quite surreal and mixes in elements from pop culture and history. His prose appeals to a wide audience because it's concise and straightforward. In fact, Murakami is one of the few Asian writers to achieve mainstream success in the West. He has written several bestsellers, but his most memorable work is the novel Norwegian Wood, a tragic tale about young Japanese people falling in love during the 1960s. To this day, Murakami remains active and continues to produce acclaimed works.
So let's talk about our author now. Haruki Murakami was born in Kyoto, Japan in 1949. He's not young, but he's not that old either. He didn't really become a writer until he was in his late 20s. I know a lot of writers who really start at a very young age. They just have this urge to tell stories, and they're constantly writing. Some young kids start writing in a journal or a diary. But he really did start quite late in life. But that doesn't mean he didn't have a chance to become successful. So even if you decide later in life what you really want to do, pursue your dreams. You can still have success in your life.
Okay, so here again it does say he was born in Kyoto, Japan in 1949. And although he didn't become a writer until he was in his late 20s, Murakami's childhood undoubtedly influenced the development of his style and provided inspiration for his later works. Well, wow, that's a long sentence there. Basically, it says that It is true that he did not become a writer until he was in his late 20s, 28, 29 or so. Mm-hmm. But still, his childhood influenced the development of his writing style. So I guess we could say that even though he wasn't a writer until he was almost 30, still he had lots of experiences in his childhood that would eventually lead him to become a writer.
If you use this word undoubtedly, it means you're pretty sure, you're certain, it's definitely true or something definitely exists. I could say Michael Jordan is undoubtedly one of the best basketball players in the history of the game. How do you fight that? I think that's really true. I mean, he's amazing. So undoubtedly, his childhood had a strong influence on him. It helped him develop his own style. A lot of very famous authors have a very unique style to their writing. So if you pick up a book and you don't know who wrote it, just by reading a couple of pages, you kind of have this sense that it's that writer because their style is very unique. Mm-hmm. Well, his childhood also provided inspiration for his later works, books that he produced later in life. We've talked about inspiration, how it's something that makes you want to do something or gives you an idea to create something new. Music gives me inspiration. Good friends often say things that will inspire me. Inspire is the verb form of the noun inspiration. Or maybe you've read a good book in the past or seen a great movie that inspired you.
Right. So, yes, he could draw on his childhood for his later stories. And he grew up in the post-World War II era, in a period when the Japanese were trying to rebuild their nation and reshape their national identity after they had suffered defeats at the hands of the Allies. So, yes, when he grew up, it was in post-World War II or the post-World War II era, the mm-hmm. period of time after World War II. Remember, that ended in 1945, so he was born a couple of years later, and he grew up in Japan when they were trying to rebuild their nation. My goodness, Japan had been bombed into submission mostly by the Americans. I'm not sure anybody else were doing bombing there, but they certainly were bombed a lot, including those nuclear bombs in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. He wasn't there, of course. He was in Kyoto. But in any case, they had to rebuild their country, and they also had to reshape their national identity. Before World War II and during, they knew what it meant to be Japanese. They had a strong idea of who they were. But afterwards, after you got beat like that, you kind of don't really know who you are. You have to sort of redefine yourself. So they had to reshape or redefine, come up with a new national identity because, indeed, they did suffer defeats. And defeat is when you lose.
Mm-hmm. You fail to succeed. You fail to win. It's very hard to be defeated. But sometimes it helps us grow from our defeats when we're not always successful. It keeps us humble,
yeah,
and keeps us teachable, so we're willing to keep learning. Well, Murakami studied dramatic literature in college. Sounds like that was his major. But then he chose to follow his passion and pursue a career that involved music after graduation. That sounds like me. I never studied music as an undergrad when I was getting my bachelor's, but then I went on to pursue a career in music after I graduated. Dramatic literature probably refers to plays and performance of plays. It could also refer, because it's not really clear here, it could refer to literature, stories, books, poetry that affect people's emotions.
Sure.
It could be either. It's not very clear here what it is, but he really liked things that moved you. If you're in drama in school, it usually refers to being a theater major, someone who studies theater, acting, you know, being in plays and movies.
Indeed. And so that was what he studied in university or college. But he later chose to follow his passion. Your passion, of course, is the thing you really love in life. It may not necessarily be your career. A lot of times it isn't. But it's a strong emotion, something you feel strongly about. People have their passions for various things. And he decided to pursue a career that involved music. Music was his passion. So, yeah, he could have gotten a job at a university as, you know, a professor or something like that. Or maybe He could have written for a newspaper or something like that, or wrote plays or whatever. But nope, I'm going to open a jazz club in Tokyo because that's what I like. Jazz is my passion.
Now, it says here that he was a lifelong jazz enthusiast. We talked about enthusiast in an earlier program. It means someone who's a fan of someone or something. You like something a lot. So you have a lot of enthusiasm for something. Lifelong is an adjective that always is used before a noun. It just means something that continues or lasts throughout a person's life. So he loved jazz, or he's liked jazz. He's still alive. He's liked jazz his whole life. So he's been a big jazz fan. So what did he do? Well, he decided, I'm going to open a jazz bar. And it's very popular, so he's successful. He has people that come there. So you can drink there. But really the main purpose of these bars, these jazz bars, is to listen to really good live jazz music.
Right. You don't go to a jazz bar to listen to them play CDs of jazz
music.
Hopefully you've got, you know, a jazz trio in there, you know, somebody with a bass and a piano and a saxophone or something like that. And with me, jazz is kind of hit or miss. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't really care for it. I know you're not a big fan of jazz, are you?
No, not really.
Okay, you're being honest there.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people just love jazz. So he opened this popular jazz bar in Tokyo. So lots of people went there. And he managed that place for 7 years.
Wow.
Sounds pretty cool. So it sounds like he's got his career off on the right track here. But as we're going to find out in a minute here, things took a change after he went to a baseball game. And we'll find out about that in just a second as we take a break now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们继续来看这位日本作家 Haruki Murakami, 也就是村上春树他的故事。我们今天就要介绍他本人了。那村上春树呢，他是在1949年出生于日本的京都，然后到快要30岁的时候才成为一位作家。我们看到咯，他说 In his late 20s,这个意思就是说他20好几了，接近30岁了，所以他是快30岁才成为作家的。那我们再来看，那当然说起他的童年其实影响了他的风格，而且呢也成为他后来写作里面的灵感。那这边我们来看看有一个句型哦， provide 这个动词是提供，可是你知道这个提供啊，提供事情或东西给谁，你会 provide something for somebody。 那比如说像这边就是 provided inspiration for his later work， 也就是为他后来的作品提供灵感。但是如果你是讲 provide somebody， 那就变成 with something， 也就是说是提供谁什么东西。再来就提到说他的成长背景是在第二次世界大战的战后时期。我们看到这边有一个 post 这个其实我们知道它是 pre 的相反词，意思就是说如果你看到一个单字前面是 pre， 比如说 pre-reading， 在读正文之前如何，但是呢如果你看到 post 就是在之后，也就是比如说 post-reading activities 就是指读正文之后的活动，那这边你看到 post 它就是在什么之后，所以它指的就是二次世界大战之后的时期。好咯，我们继续来往下看。当然讲到他当时呢，日本在这个时代背景里面是遭到惨败，然后要重建国家，重新塑造对国家的认同。那下一段呢，我们继续来看，下面就说到了他呢，其实在大学时是念戏剧文学，但是他后来毕业以后就决定选择跟自己的兴趣有关的，像他后来就从事音乐相关的事业。再来他提到他是一个终身的爵士乐的爱好者，看到这句话的结构啊， Being a lifelong jazz enthusiast 当然是指热衷的人啊，那前面的 being 就告诉你这是一个分词构句，当然这整个算是一个片语，我们说它这是一个分词片语，在前面省略的主词，那主词当然就是跟后面一样的讲 he， 也就是村上。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson. We're talking about Haruki Murakami, the writer of the featured story we've been talking about, Super Frog Saves Tokyo. And we're talking about his life and times. He's born in Kyoto. He grew up in post-World War II Japan. He studied dramatic literature in college, but he pursued his passion and opened a jazz club in Tokyo and managed it for 7 years. But oddly enough, Murakami got a sudden flash of inspiration while attending a baseball game, and that convinced him he should write. So, oddly enough, it's rather unusual that he got a flash of inspiration or he was inspired suddenly just because he went to a baseball game.
I know. They're not related at all. I think that's why the author here put oddly enough. Usually if you hear the crack of a bat in a baseball game, you're just like, yay, maybe it's a home run. But for him, it really changed his whole entire life and the path that he was going down. He had been managing a popular jazz bar, and suddenly, while attending this baseball game, he just had this really quick think or thought that entered his mind, and it was kind of like, hey, you should write. It's kind of weird. That's why we're using oddly enough.
Oddly enough. Yeah. Maybe he was bored out of his mind watching this baseball game and he thought, there's got to be something better than this. Hey, maybe I can be a writer. That's exciting.
Tom doesn't really like baseball.
I'm not a huge fan of it, but in any case here, he did get inspired while attending that game, and it convinced him that he should write. If you're convinced, you're completely certain about something. Of course, if you want somebody to buy your product, you have to convince them that it's what they need. And if you can do that, then you make a great salesperson. But this inspiration convinced him that he should write. And when he heard the crack of the bat, Murakami claims he immediately knew that he could write a novel. Does that mean actually when somebody actually hit the ball really hard, he knew right at that moment he should be a writer?
No. Crack here actually refers to that sudden, loud, sharp sound that you'll hear. A cracking sound could come when ice breaks. Of course, we don't see that much here because it doesn't get very cold, but if ice cracks underneath your feet and you're walking across a lake, you'll hear that. Or it might be the sound of thunder. Oftentimes we'll use that phrase, a crack of thunder. Or if you've unfortunately broken a bone in your body, you'll hear that. That's a terrible sound.
Right. Or after an earthquake, you might see cracks in the walls, etc. But here it's referring to the sound that this bat made. Crack. And he claims at that moment, he immediately knew right then and there that he could write a novel. So he got to it. He got out his typewriter or his pen. We don't really know how he wrote it, but he penned his first book. Pen here is just a fancy way of saying he wrote the book. And the title was Hear the Wind Sing. And he was frequently writing after he closed down his bar for the evening, which is no small feat because, as you know, jazz bars and nightclubs tend to stay up very late, so he may have been writing into the wee hours all the way to sunrise.
We could say he's a night owl. If you're a night owl, it means you're a person who likes to stay up very late at night. I'm a morning person, so I like to get up early, so that would be hard for me to write and be creative when I'm that tired. But obviously, he's a night owl, and he would continue writing late into the early hours of the day, actually. Probably 2, 3, 4 a.m. he was writing. This novel that he wrote, Hear the Wind Sing, it actually won first prize in a national literary contest for emerging authors. So his first attempt gave him a lot of success. If it's a literary contest, it's a contest where people are judging literature, which includes very high-quality books and poems, poetry.
Novels and stuff like that. So, yes, National Literary Contest for emerging authors. Emerging here means they're just starting to become popular. They're just starting to come into view, emerging. We could say the submarine emerged from the water and began to fight with the enemy. But here, these are emerging authors, up-and-coming authors, you could say. And he never looked back from there. He was never going to run that jazz club again.
Oh, very interesting.
Well, maybe, but basically it means that his career started and He never quit after that.
I think when you see that phrase, never looked back, it means he didn't regret the choice he had made, the decision he'd made. He felt good about it, so he kept going. Sometimes if you have regrets, you do look back and you think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. He didn't. He never looked back from there. He kept moving forward and he had a lot of success. Now here in our next paragraph, it says, Murakami has a style all his own. So he has a unique style. You can definitely tell that it's something he's written. If you read what he's written. His style is quite surreal. I'm not a fan of surreal writing, but this is what surreal means. Surreal means very strange, very unusual. It has this quality of being in a dream. So it's a little weird. Remember, we were talking about a frog that talks and a worm that's huge. And
yeah, that's surreal.
Can cause an earthquake, so it's a little strange. But it's popular, very popular, just not just with kids, with adults as well. He mixes in elements or parts of things from pop culture. Pop culture refers to culture today. So you'll read things about music and musicians that are popular, television shows that are popular. That's part of our pop culture. He'll also combine elements from history. So he sounds like he's very well-educated and knows a lot about history, but also today's world.
Indeed, and it's not just for kids or old people. His prose appeals to a wide audience because it's concise and straightforward. Prose here just means writing in its ordinary form without any kind of poetic structure. So basically it's not a poem, it's prose. We often talk about prose and poetry. So yes, his prose, his literature, his novels, they appeal to a wide audience. Lots of people like it, and that's because it's concise. Concise means it's very compact. It's not really long. Some books are very long, and they give you just too much information. They say that sometimes about Charles Dickens' books. He just goes on and on with these other plots, and it takes forever to finish one of his books. But here, this is very concise. It gives that information in as few words as possible.
If you describe someone as being concise, it means they don't use a lot of extra unnecessary words. They get to the point. He's also described as being straightforward. So his writing is very easy to understand. It's not complicated. That's kind of nice. Well, in fact, he is one of the few Asian writers to achieve mainstream success in the West. The West, of course, is the Western world, as opposed to Asia. But if you're getting some mainstream success, it means just, you know, most people like him. The majority of the people out there really enjoys writing, so good for him.
There are not many Asian writers are able to have their works translated into English or French or German, but this guy's an exception here. He has achieved mainstream success in the West, and he has written several bestsellers, but his most memorable work is the novel Norwegian Wood, which we'll talk about in just a second. A bestseller is a book that sells a lot. You might see like the New York Times list of bestsellers, like the best-selling books. The most popular books. And so, yes, he's written several very popular books, but his most memorable one is Norwegian Wood. Memorable means it's worth remembering or lots of people know about it and they're going to remember it for a very long time.
Yeah, maybe you've had a memorable vacation or a memorable experience in the past that you'll never forget. Well, his most memorable work is the novel Norwegian Wood. What is it about? It's a tragic or very sad tale about young Japanese people falling in love during the 1960s. I kind of like to read that. Now, to this day or up to this point, he has remained active and he continues to produce acclaimed works. If someone has praised you and said your works are acclaimed, it means some critics have been very, very positive about your work. So he's been praised very strongly for the novels that he's written and the short stories. So good for him. I think this is someone you'd all like to check out.
I definitely like to check him out as well. And we're going to continue talking about him in our next program. We're going to go back to that story, The Super Frog, but we'll also talk about some other things that he has done. in our next program. Make sure you tune in then. But before we say goodbye today, we'd like first to hear from our wonderful, beloved Chinese teacher. Take it away.
我们继续来看村上春树他本人的故事啊。那提到说他后来追求他自己喜欢的兴趣，然后呢还开了一间爵士酒吧。那接下来这里一个转折副词哦，这个其实是 oddly enough。 oddly enough 我们翻成中文就是诶，说来也奇怪，实在是有够奇怪的。我们知道英文里面如果你在写作的时候一定要特别注意怎么样善用转折词，像这种 transitional phrase转折词是可以帮你承接上下的语义，让你文章看起来更顺、更合逻辑、更通顺啊。我们来看这边就说，诶，他说也奇怪的，他呢后来在看棒球赛，诶，突然就灵光闪现，告诉他，诶，应该要写作。当然这是一个很奇怪的一个说法啊，不过不管怎样，后面就继续说到，所以他就开始动笔写书了。而他有提到他写的第一本书叫 Hear the Wind Sing， 中文我们翻成听风的歌。那提到这部小说呢，他还得奖了，获得首奖。而这个首奖是什么奖呢？是一个全国新兴作家文学竞赛里面的首奖。我们看一下哦，什么叫新兴作家？这个英文呢，你要用到一个 emerging 来作为它的形容词。Emerge 本来是出现，所以你说 emergent authors 指的就是诶才出现的，也就是我们知道新兴，好像我们说写作界的新兴一样，之前没听过，现在才出现，这就是他得到的奖。当然从此之后，这个村上春树呢也就没有再从文坛中回头了。好，我们再看下面这一段。下面呢提到说他有个人独特的风格，他的风格是怎么样呢？提到他的风格，他用一个字 surreal。 surreal 这个字我们看一下，其实我们要研究一下一个单字哦，我们把它切开来看就非常有意思了，因为 real 是真的，而 sur sur 这个字首啊，其实它有那种 over above super 在什么之上这样的含义，所以 surreal 就是超写实的，诶，非常的超现实而又综合流行文化的历史元素。那再来呢，下面还要提到他另外一个有名的作品，其实也是他最有名的作品，那就是挪威森林，英文翻成 Norwegian Wood。这个作品呢是有关于年轻的日本人呢在1960年代陷入爱河的这些故事。好，那后面提到说至今，时至今日，这个片语 to this day， 直到今天村上春树他还是一样继续的活跃于写作界，而且还持续写出颇受好评的作品。好，我们看到刚刚提到 to this day， 有时候你还有一个另外一个片语就是 to date， 这个可以顺便一起学起来哦。
That's it for today's lesson. Thanks so much for joining us, and make sure you join us again next time when we continue to talk about our featured writer and his works, Murakami. Until then, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.